B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, welcome to the program. Felger Maserati on a Thursday. Big Jim Murray alongside in the Maz chair. Hi, Jim.
Good, you?
Just fine. Thank you so much. We got Marshall Hook settling in the update studio and here in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. We talk Patriots, Murray. And I heard something last night on television that stopped me in my tracks a little bit.
Oh.
I want to start off the show by personally thanking Tom E. Kern of NBC Sports Boston for just continuing to pile us with content. Content and relevant content and talkable content. He's not talking about the backup guards. Tom Kern fills me with content as it relates to coaches and quarterbacks. And this was the latest. Jimmy, let me know if you are ready to roll the sound. This is last night. And the leadoff thought here is that, you know, Mike Vrabel with these controlled practices and these joint practices with the Tennessee Titans, everyone looks at Mike Vrabel, or some look at Mike Vrabel and go, ooh, that would be a nice guy to succeed Bill Belichick. That's a, you know, that's someone people have their eye on, right?
He's building something there, it feels like.
Building something. Former Patriot, like, check some boxes there. And, and I know Gary Tangway's one of them who thinks Mike Vrabel's the next Patriots head coach. And so he asked Tom Curran on site there in Tennessee about Mike Vrabel as the next Patriots head coach. And Tom said, nope, not so fast. I have the next Patriots head coach. Guess who Tom Curran thinks is the next Patriots head coach? Hit it.
All right, Tommy, my pick, Tom Curran. I think the next head coach of the New England Patriots is Mike Vrabel. What do you say?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think that the next head coach is a defensive coach, and I think he is actually in the building right now, and I think it's going to be Gerard Mayo. When you look at all the things that Mayo brings to the table, the fact that he will coach under Belichick as opposed to what Vrabel did, his business acumen, his time that he spent in the professional business world with Optum, the things that he knows, he's an incredibly charismatic person. Not to say Mike Vrabel isn't those things, not to say Mike Vrabel wouldn't be a good candidate, but I really have a feeling that when it's all said and done, if Gerard Mayo wants to coach the New England Patriots after Bill Belichick, that might be something that the Crafts would like to see happen.
Gerard Mayo.
That was fast.
As the next Patriots head coach. That certainly was fast.
He's been on the sideline for all of, one preseason game?
He goes, one camp? He goes right from Studio A in Burlington to the head coach of the New England Patriots. But you know what's a, I think Tom is onto something, and I don't think he's pulling it out of his butt. And you know what the giveaway is? That thing he said there at the end. I think the Crafts would like to see it. Like, where do you get that?
Right. Yeah, well, this feels like informed opinion.
How do you come up with that angle?
Tom's plugged in.
So, how do you feel about Gerard Mayo as the next Patriots head coach?
Gerard comes off as a nice, affable kind of guy. He was one of the better linebackers here in this Bill Belichick, Brady era, of course. But I'm good. I've come to the realization, I don't want anything to do with anyone from the Belichick coaching tree. When he's gone and it's all over, in terms of this era, I want a clean slate.
I want
someone new. Yeah.
Really?
Yep. I don't want McDaniels. I don't want Gerard Mayo. I don't want any of these other guys from Bill O'Brien to anyone else. I don't want anyone from the Belichick coaching tree. I am good.
Why?
Because I think it's been proven that it's failure after failure, time after time. Matt Patricia being the latest example. All of these guys try to emulate Bill almost to the exact degree. Some of the stuff even last year you heard early at camp with Matt Patricia there having them running gassers and, you know, they're running in the snow. It's a dome team, you idiot. Like, you don't have to do everything and be as big of a hard ass as Bill was when he was coming up. Like, they all feel like they have to act exactly like him. Hell, even in terms of, like, a general manager aspect, Scott Pioli did the same thing when he went to Kansas City. And he ran that place like it was North Korea, kind of like how Bill runs everything here. No information in, no information out. Like, and they've all failed. I'm good. I want it to be a completely different thing. I don't want any. If you come from the Belichick tree to follow Bill here, I think you are destined to fail.
Okay. Sound reasoning, Murray. I mean, look, it's hard to argue that the guys that have come through here just have not worked wherever they've gone. So I have no argument for that. I have no counter to that. Except I still want to butt my head against the wall. I do. I do want a Belichick guy. I do want a continuation of the program. I want the same playbook. I want the same terminology. I want the same schemes. I want the same principles. I want a continuation of that. I do. I do. Now, does it have to be one of these Belichick, you know, coaching acolytes? Maybe not. But I don't want to change the playbook. Sort of like, you know, again, the model to me is the Niners. From 81 all the way through like 97, like they had a really long run. Not that they were winning championships at the end and, under Steve Mariucci, but basically from whatever it was, 1980, 79, whenever Bill Walsh took over, all the way through the end of Steve Mariucci, and, you know, with Seifert in between, it was kind of sort of the same program. It really was. It was a West Coast offense. It was Montana to Steve Young, and it was all sort of the same. And that's what I want. That's what I want.
Yeah, and it ultimately ran its course. And they
what, Murray? It ran its course after 18 years.
And you've had 20 here, so you've outlived that. Eventually, like, I just, and a lot of it, obviously, is dependent on the quarterback as well. I don't know. I've seen too much and too many instances in terms of these guys that have left from underneath Belichick and gone elsewhere and just fallen right on their face. Bill O'Brien, I guess you can make the argument, has been kind of successful, but the guy can't win a playoff game to save his life. So even that is a bit of a stretch.
All right, so what do you want out of the next Patriots head coach? 617-779-0985. Offensive, defensive, a Belichick guy, a not Belichick guy, someone from the program, from someone outside the program? What do you want? Tommy Kern was pretty definitive there. Vrabel's someone that people look at and go, ooh, he'd be a good guy. He'd be a good guy to succeed Belichick at some point. And Kern says, nope, it's Gerard Mayo, and the Crafts would like it. So, like we're even talking like that? Like there's people that high in him in the building that he's even being talked about like that? That's what I took from that. To me, I don't want Mayo, and I don't want Vrabel for one reason. One reason. And that is, it's about coach quarterback, right? Coach quarterback, coach quarterback, coach quarterback. That's all we've talked about for 20 years, and I think it is. I think it's hugely important. The most single most important position on the field by far, I think, is really closely aligned with how you're coached and what the program is. So as much as I like Mike Vrabel personally and as, you know, sharp and, you know, what you know all the nice things you want to say about Mayo, I'll take them all. What's Mike Vrabel doing with the quarterbacks down there?
Oh, he's got nothing.
Does he do anything with them?
No, it's Mariota and Ryan.
Did he pick this one?
No.
So maybe when he gets the chance to pick his one, he'll be successful.
Well, he picked up Ryan Tannehill. I don't
know. As a backup.
Okay, so I don't know. You think Mike Vrabel's worked with quarterbacks, Jimmy?
I don't know yet because I haven't seen it, and I haven't seen him have the opportunity to pick his guy yet.
So to me, it's not just picking your guy. It's, can you coach a quarterback? Can you coach him up? Can you get in there? And, well, I mean, Vrabel's been nothing but defensive side of the ball, defensive coordinator, Ohio State, defensive line coach, Ohio State. I mean, we can read his resume. Defensive line coach, linebackers coach, defensive coordinator, head coach. I think he's coached one position on the offense.
Yeah. Before Brady, who is the best quarterback that Belichick coached up?
Fair enough. So he can learn it. He can learn it, no question about it. But you stick along long enough in the game, you'll learn it. I think Belichick's turned into a pretty snappy quarterback coach. It took him how long? It took him a long time. Is Vrabel there yet? In other words, if Vrabel comes to me in 10, 15 years after being a head coach for a long time, and okay, maybe. I don't know. I want a guy to work with the next quarterback.
I just think in today's NFL, you're better off with a guy that is more offensive-minded, that can work with a quarterback and even get the best out of him, even if they're kind of a stiff. This is why Sean McVay, even though he fell completely on his face in that Super Bowl, I think he's going to learn from taking his lumps. To get that kind of play out of Jared Goff, who is a complete stiff, and for that offense and all the innovative things he's done, like I think that guy has a legitimate future going forward.
And I'd say the same thing about Mayo, Gerard Mayo. I mean, inexperienced overall, but what's he going to do with me on the next quarterback?
Yeah. Yeah, the defensive-minded guys, defensive-first type of coaches going forward in today's NFL, like I'd rather an offensive guy. I really would.
They better hire me. Again, if I'm an owner and I'm worried about my quarterback, they better hire me. Or I'm sorry. If I have a Vrabel or a Gerard Mayo or one of those guys as my head coach, they better hire. They better have a really snappy quarterback coach or offensive coordinator or something like that. But I would prefer my head coach to be that guy. I really would.
So, Mike, when you were covering the team, who was more active with Tom Brady, Bill Belichick or Charlie Weiss?
It was hard for me to know. I think they were both in there.
Okay, because I was about to give more credit to Charlie Weiss, hoping that was going to be your answer than Bill Belichick.
No. Like, I mean, I think Bill has definitely learned how to coach every facet of the game. But what, Bill's fifth year in the league? Could he coach every facet of the game? That's what we're talking about with Vrabel. Or Gerard Mayo, his first year in the league? I mean, don't tell me. I mean, Jimmy, I mean,
I get the feeling that
you're just arguing with me.
Ultimately, you said they're not my guy, but you haven't told us who your guy is. Is Josh McDaniels
your guy? Josh McDaniels is my guy.
Ugh.
Josh McDaniels. Because I think that this thing that we tried to say to you the other day, Murray, that Belichick has actually had some success stories at the quarterback position. Castle, Brian Hoyer, some guys that he's brought along, Garoppolo. Well, you know who was there for every single one of them.
Yes, Josh McDaniels.
Josh! Yes. Josh was there for every single one of them. So that's just where I would err. And I'm not telling you Josh is the perfect candidate or he wouldn't have his flaws or he wasn't just a complete a-hole in Denver and, you know, all those things.
I actually put that in his plus column, though, because how many head coaches do you see unsuccessful, like gloriously slow, Bill Belichick included, unsuccessful in their first coaching opportunity? And then when they get the second one, that's where things seem to click together. There is value in having been a head coach and even having failed at it. There's value there that none of these other guys have.
Okay,
it's not the only path, but there is value there.
So I want an offensive guy, and I'm more than fine with Josh McDaniels, and I understand all his faults. I accept them. But I want to err on the side that's going to work with the quarterback and the next quarterback. And I don't know if Gerard Mayo or Mike Vrabel or those defensive guys are ready yet.
Can I give you my guy, or do you want to wait?
Who's your guy?
It's David Shaw in Stanford. He's built a real program. He's been there long enough, offensive-minded. He worked with Andrew Luck before he came into the league. He's built a real program at Stanford. That's the guy. People have kind of, you know, tried to entice him to come to the NFL. That's the one knock against him. He's never coached in the NFL, to my knowledge, although he might have been with the Ravens back in the day. But either way, in terms of, like, a real legitimate coaching job in the NFL, he's never done it. He's been at Stanford now, like, 8-9 years or whatever it is, so I would go with him.
Well, and it just, excuse me, because this ties into my next point. Is he African-American?
Yes.
He is. Okay, so here's another one, play this next piece of sound. Here's one reason there's a lot of reasons to hire Gerard Mayo, but here's one not to. And Tommy Curran hits on it. Hit number three, Jimmy.
I was just going to add that the interesting thing is we're not talking about Bill Belichick leaving this year. If Gerard Mayo is the de facto defensive coordinator, then becomes the defensive coordinator, and Bill retires in 2 or 3 years, you've got a guy who has spent the time there. And I think that the business side of things cannot be undersold. And I think that, you know, in a league that is lacking for minority coaches, I think Gerard Mayo would certainly obviously be a minority coach for the Patriots, give that diversity. And he would be just it's not as cuckoo as you think. And if the Patriots had wanted to have Josh McDaniels as the heir apparent to Bill Belichick, they might have talked to him about that type of thing before he actually was on the way to go talk to the Indianapolis Colts about coaching them. I mean, they just haven't intimated anything about Josh being the next head coach.
Okay, so that second piece is interesting. That, you know, Tommy Curran believes the Patriots never told Josh McDaniels he's next, or that they think of him that way, or so maybe Josh isn't the guy. Gerard Mayo's experience that he would develop under Belichick, reason to hire him. His aptitude, his, you know, experience even outside of football and how he succeeded at that, reason to hire him, all those things. The minority thing?
The affirmative action part of it.
Oh, I would hate, I mean, wouldn't he hate that? Wouldn't everyone hate that? That you're doing that because you want to be the list of teams that have hired an African-American coach just to say you've done it?
You'd like to think it's best guy for the job.
Oh, that's no reason. That's no reason to do it. I mean, the Shaw out in Stanford, I don't care if he's white, black, pink, purple with polka dots or pays. I don't care less. I want him to be able to coach the next quarterback. Yeah, that's all.
I didn't factor any of that in. Again, the guy's built a legitimate program out there and brought in some good quarterbacks, especially Andrew Luck. That's why I look at him I would like him to be the next guy.
But the whole, you know, and this goes into a whole bigger conversation about, you know, there's this outrage about the lack of minority head coaches in the league. And I think it misses the mark. Totally. There's not a lot of African-American head coaches, but they've been getting tons of opportunities. And, so that opens a whole other can of worms, and I don't want to join that can of worms. I want the guy. I want someone to come in and coach the next quarterback, and I don't care what color he is. And to me, if they're of that thinking and that's part of it, oh, I don't love that.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that they would be one of the clubs that would fall, I guess, victim, probably not the right term to use, but just fall into that, like, you know, the incessant whining from the blue checkmark brigade on Twitter, like, oh, you got to hire an African-American. Like, no, it should be the best and most qualified person for the job.
I'm all for diversity, and I'm all for
Same.
That cause. I am. I'm on that side of the aisle. I am. but I'd like someone else to save the world, and I want someone to coach my quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's what I would sort of prefer. So, all right, what do you want out of your next Patriots head coach? Kern says it's Gerard Mayo. How do you feel about that? To you right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports
Hub. Whew, man, I don't know about that, Tom. Look, to me, I mean, he's already in-house. I mean, it's Josh McDaniels, to me, is going to be the obvious next choice. Gerard Mayo, he's coached the middle linebackers for the first time in his career coaching in the NFL. So that's a huge step just right there. They already kind of anoint him as the next head coach. I think saying a lot of people think Bill O'Brien down in the Houston Texans would want to come here. I tell you what, I know he wants to come here if he ever is given that opportunity. I just don't know if that's a good fit. To me, it's Josh McDaniels. He's already in-house. It's already kind of laid out for him to take over the head coaching job.
That was Ted Johnson responding to Tom Curran, who said it's Gerard Mayo. And the Crafts would love to see that. So that's who I think it is. That's who I think it should be. And Curran also said that, there was no promises made to McDaniels when they pulled him off the plane on the way to Indianapolis. And they have never talked to him about being the head coach or given him no indication that he's the next head coach.
Even though most of us, I think, assume that that was kind of the wink-wink, nudge-nudge deal, right?
So, look, I have no doubt that Tom Curran's heard that, and yeah. You know that maybe McDaniels has said that privately to people. Like, I'm not disputing that. I just find it hard to believe he came off that plane without some sort of wink or a nod about what was waiting for him.
You'd think.
So he can say what he wants. He can try and cover it as he wants. I'm talking about Josh McDaniels, but I know they offered him a boatload of money. But how do you turn down a head coaching job like that? I mean, literally, the private plane, Irsay's plane, is here. And he steps off the plane without, I don't know, some sort of idea. I just find that hard to believe.
You don't take him at his word that it was about comfort for his family.
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah, me either.
Definitely not. Definitely not. So what do you want out of the next Patriots head coach? 617-779-0985. Lucas and Lowell. Hi, Lucas.
Well, hey, guys. What's up? So, for quarterback, you go ahead and draft Trevor Lawrence and bring Dabo Swinney, offensive head coach, genius, make a bum like Kelly Bryant as quarterback. He could make anyone.
Okay, Lucas, I'd ask you, but I'll ask the people. How are they drafting Trevor Lawrence again? No, I mean, tell me how that's going to happen.
You'd have to tank the season. It's not going to happen under Belichick, even if you have one of these bum quarterbacks like Brian Hoyer or Jared Stidham as your quarterback. They're not going to lose games on purpose to tank.
No. They're going to do what they did the year they wanted to go get Baker Mayfield. They're going to get all the points that they need on the draft board to trade up to get him.
Never going to happen. No one's trading that away. The guy is going to be the next great quarterback.
Jim Murray, everyone has a price in this league.
Never.
Everyone.
Never.
I think it's silly talk. I think it's just like, just go get Trevor Lawrence. To get to be the number one pick on your own, you're going to have to be 1-15 because teams are going to tank that year for Trevor Lawrence. Okay, Baker Mayfield, there were some questions. Like, there was sort of a back and forth about.
Yeah, he was no lock at number one last year.
He was a consensus. By the time it got to draft night, he might have been a consensus. But I think there were mixed opinions on him. Trevor Lawrence is supposed to be Peyton Manning, John Elway, consensus, everyone on the planet, can't miss number one overall pick. So to get that guy, you have to go 1-15 because teams are going to lose and lose and lose. So
next year is going to be real interesting.
Tell me how you get to 1-15 with Bill Belichick.
Never going
to
happen.
No way.
Josh, and Dabo Swinney, just as an aside, I'm good too. Like, they've built a hell of a program there, but he's too much of one of those like old good old boys, Southern like God freaks. No thanks.
Okay, well, if you're going to exclude the people who take religion seriously in football, Murray, you're not going to have much of a team. Like, that's sort of silly. I'm sorry. I mean, religion's important to a lot of people in that league, especially down south. I would not preclude those guys from my team.
Yeah, but when it gets into, like, banana land territory like it does with that guy.
I don't care if the guy can coach. I don't care if you're, I could care less who you pray to. If you can coach, I'm not going to discriminate against that in any way, shape, or form, any day of the week if the guy can coach. Josh in Haverhill. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, Felger. What up, babe? Happy 10 years, man.
Thanks.
You know, as far as this goes, I think I don't think McDaniels is the best guy for the job for a few reasons. I mean, what makes him so good, Felger? I mean, Tom Brady made him. As far as it goes with Brady versus Belichick, I'm still taking Tom Brady 51% to 49% of Bill Belichick. I mean, I'd much rather have a guy with a defensive mindset like Mayo or Vrabel. I just feel like with the next quarterback isn't going to be as good, so you're going to have to rely on the defense more.
Okay, so I think that you can get away with that with a good defensive coordinator. And I just think it's harder. I don't know. I mean, let's just go over the last Super Bowl coaches, because I do agree that Belichick's turned into a, he's a good coach at everything. Okay, so, but I think the work with Belichick and Brady, you know, stands on its own, and so I could consider Bill a quarterback's coach, an offensive coach. I really do. So the last, the winners of the Super Bowl going backwards are Belichick, Peterson.
Doug Peterson.
Doug Peterson, quarterback. Belichick. Pete Carroll is a defensive coach. Kubiak, quarterback coach.
Yep.
When the Packers won, it was McCarthy. When Tomlin won, he's a defensive coach. I think I'm listing more offensive coaches than defensive coaches. John Harbaugh was a special teams coach, so he's neither. He's sort of in the middle of it. But I don't know. I just think offensive coaches generally have more success. And if I want some sort of hard-ass defensive coordinator, I'll hire Wade Phillips or the guy with the Jets right now. You know, I don't know. To me, the single most important thing is your next quarterback. And to me, the single biggest thing in the league, as we've seen, is coach quarterback. And I just don't know. As much as I like Mike Vrabel, or as much as Jerod Mayo has got a lot of things going for him, is he really going to develop your next quarterback? I mean, the fella Shaw out in Stanford, maybe, but I don't want to change the playbook, Murray. I don't want to change the playbook. I don't want to change the system. I don't want to change the schemes. I want a continuation of all that. And so, to me, that's why it's Josh McDaniels. Here's Tony in Florida on David Shaw. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I kind of do like Murray's point about David Shaw, and sometimes you got to make a change, and maybe with Belichick still here, David Shaw might not move or change the offense that much. Also, I think Belichick's going to call his buddy up, Saban, because he's getting tired of scheduling cupcakes and blowing out everybody all the time.
Oh, so he is?
He's going to make a phone call to Abe and bring him in and form a dream team coaching staff.
Okay, Tony. The calls get real stupid real quick on this. So now they're going to bring in Trevor. They're going to somehow get Trevor Lawrence and bring in Dabo Swinney. And now Belichick's going to build a super team of coaches with David Shaw and Nick Saban.
Yeah. It's going to be the dream team.
Because Nick Saban is sick of going 10-1 in the SEC. Like,
and
what?
And literally living like a king in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
He's never leaving there. Oh, my ever. God. Ever, ever, ever. He'd be foolish to.
Why go 10-1, work half the year, not have to worry about three quarters of your schedule, and then come to the NFL and deal with these guys who you can't take away their scholarship, and then, I don't know, have to battle it out every Sunday, winning 21-17 with your hair falling out. Yeah, no, he'd much rather do that than go 10-1 every year by just rolling out of bed. Give me a break. Come on. Sebastian in Lincoln. Go ahead, Sebastian.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Murray, I'm not sure if you watch much of college football, but David Shaw really benefited from Andrew Luck picking Stanford. But I think, Felger, I really agree with you, and that we got to hope that Bill develops the quarterback. I mean, we see in those Patriot videos that Brady and Belichick really work hand in hand together, developing the offensive scheme. And Belichick is this defensive guy. And so at first, right, that's what he started as. You really want to hope that Belichick develops the next quarterback, and that next quarterback can work hand in hand with whatever coach it is.
Josh,
but that coach has to be somebody who is well-versed in the intricacies of both the defense and the offense. Right, I don't think Josh is much of a defensive mind.
Sebastian, you tell me what coaches are well versed on both sides of the ball these days.
So that's what you got to look at. I agree with you, Mike, in that a lot of coaches in the NFL stink right now, right?
But not just that, Sebastian. I'm sorry, I have to cut you off. It's not just that. It's that they're all one side of the ball and they pass off the other side of the ball. And that's what the whole league's become. So you're not going to find that. You've got to sort of accept.
And Belichick became that just because of time. You know, eventually he became great in all three phases.
Right, and he's the last.
Defense first, though.
He's the last of the Mohicans, though. I mean, to be a true head coach, a true CEO that does everything and is involved in everything. I mean, when we were kids, I mean, those guys, Landry, Shula, those guys were head coaches. They were head coaches. They did everything. And those days are over, man. Like, you're either an offensive coach that calls the offensive plays and you totally hand over the defense, or it's the other, you know, it's the other way around. And so, like, I think you just got to sort of accept that. And Josh has very little experience on defense. Yep, that's right. He's going to have to turn over the defense to someone else. And that's just the way it's going to be with anyone. If you hire Gerard Mayo or Mike Vrabel, you'd have to do the same thing on offense. So that's just the way it's going to be. But I agree. I said all week and all day, I want Belichick drafting and developing the next Patriots quarterback alongside Josh McDaniels, who then just takes over with all that runway and all that wind at his sails, and it's all that continuity. That's what I want. I want the continuity. We'll continue with your conversation on this. I want to do an exercise quickly coming up next. Yesterday, we spent pretty much all day just ripping and bashing, and rightfully so, the competition in the AFC, because it's one calamity after the next. Whether it's injuries, Indy, dysfunction, Oakland, whatever the case may be, fatal flaws, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. It's just you have a hard time putting together a team that could emerge from the AFC other than Kansas City and give you a hard time. And we spent all day doing that. But let's flip the script a little bit. You now, other than Kansas City, you have to pick a team and build a case for it. You have to pick a team to come out of the field in the AFC and build a case for it. This is an exercise, and let's see how we do. If you have to pick a team, what one would it be? We'll do that right after Marshall Hook's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sub.
Felger and Mass.
Ow.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, it's time to do a little exercise that I know that's going to lead to a whole raft of stupid calls.
You think they're going to win, you idiot?
Will you stop being afraid of the people?
Most of you, I guess I am. Yeah, they've beaten me down, Murray.
Really?
It's true. But people don't like to hear you pumping up other teams. You know that's true.
Of course.
Okay. So
how dare you say anything good about anyone else?
We're going to force that. We're going to force it. Meaning, I'm with everybody that I don't believe in the AFC. I don't. I don't believe in the league. I'm really down on the league, and I'm down in the conference for sure. But there's always a team that emerges that you say you don't expect, you didn't think would be there, and suddenly they're there, and who could it be? And we're going to force it. You have to pick a team other than the Chiefs, who we, you know, all, you know, consensus would agree are the number two team in the conference. And we think should be there, should be sniffing around it. Okay? Other than the Chiefs, you have to pick a team, Murray, and build a case for them. Give me your team.
My surprise team in the AFC in 2019 is the Jacksonville Jaguars. And here's why. First, the defense remains mostly intact, and if they play to their ability, they can get back to being a top five unit in the league. They get talent all over the place that side of the ball. Jalen Ramsey, Yannick Ngakoue, AJ Bouye, all those names, a lot of talent. So if they play up to their level, they could be a top five defense. Nick Foles, their new quarterback, should, in theory, provide more consistency and stability at the most important position. Obviously better than Blake Bortles. And his new offensive coordinator in Jacksonville, former offensive coordinator John DeFilippo, who was with him with the Eagles when he beat you. Leonard Fournette and the rest of the a-holes, like Jalen Ramsey, who I love, but an a-hole. Based on stuff I've read about them, seemingly humbled by their terrible season last year, because they started, I think, 3-0 and then went completely in the tank. I would think they'll be looking to go into this season with a chip on their shoulder and with something to prove. Jacksonville Jaguars, I know it's a competitive AFC South, but I see them winning 10 games and squeaking into the playoffs.
Jacksonville is Murray's surprise team. Safe. That's a safe pick. That's not going to piss anybody off. Unlike Hook's choice. What's your choice?
I'm going with the Denver Broncos.
Yeah! The Don.
Going with the Denver Broncos.
Give it to me.
First, I'm going to start with a veteran quarterback, right? A guy who's won a Super Bowl in Joe Flacco. He's solid, most certainly not spectacular, but solid, and he was a game manager type. So, you know, under the right coaching with a good defense, which I think that team will have, there is a chance that they do something. And if it doesn't work, you can basically have, and this is my second reason, the other quarterback, Drew Lock. I mean, basically Joe Flacco can lose his job in back-to-back seasons to a rookie quarterback. And so that whole thing could happen, although, you know, second-round pick, played at Missouri, he could come in. Even better, you know, the first guy gets off to an okay start, stumbles, the second guy comes in, you get a kind of a resurgent thing going on, and it all works out pretty well. I also like the coach. The guy has been coaching in the NFL forever, like 30, 40 years. That guy has been around. He's a defensive-minded guy. That will work. And then finally, playing in Denver. It's like playing in Miami. It's a place where you have a built-in home field advantage. Their schedule isn't great, but they are playing some good teams in Denver, and that's a place that good teams can have some problems.
So I was looking this up because you I'm sorry, I was looking something up. So if you said this, I'm sorry. Hosts aren't listening, but I was just trying to look it up. Who's their offensive coordinator? And as I look it up, I don't know this individual. Rich Scangarello?
Sure.
Do you know him?
I don't. No, never heard the name. I know Mike Munchak is there. You know, that guy.
Does. Mike Munchak's their offensive line coach.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they're going to want to run the ball and whatnot. And with Joe Flacco, it's not like you're running this precision passing game anyway. I don't know. I just wanted to look at that because if Vic Fangio is your head coach, he's just all defense. Who's coaching your quarterback? Who's coaching your passing game? And it's not like they got an established guy there. But it's a good pick. It's a good pick.
Rick Scangarello.
Because John Elway is not the worst. Maybe not what I thought he was or what I hoped he was.
Guy can't pick a quarterback to save his life.
Well, we'll see. And I'm not a big believer in Joe Flacco. But they won with a bad quarterback the last time they won. I mean, Peyton Manning was not at his greatest.
And Joe Flacco himself has won.
And Joe Flacco has, Joe Flacco has anything going for him, he's played well in big games. He's played well in big games against you, blah, blah, blah. And the home field's for real. You know, Murray acts like, you know, they were 6-10 last year. They lost their last four games. So they were a 500 team through the balance of the season. And then I can't remember what happened at the end, but something happened at the end. Probably Vance Joseph happened at the end. So Denver.
Oh, they don't have a quarterback, and they play in a lopsided division with Kansas City and the L.A. Chargers. I don't see how they come out of that division.
Okay, my pick to click, my surprise team. Let's go, Vinny. Let's do it. The Jets.
Duh.
Back to the future, baby. The
Jets.
I don't hate this. Jets. And it's not a bad pick. It's not just trolling. Although I have that, that's a side benefit. I will take that side benefit. I get to root for the Jets again. I enjoyed the crap out of that. We all did at the end of the day, right? I was wrong. I got to get my trolling in. You prevailed, but I won a couple big games in the middle there. That was all good eating. So I have no problem going back there. The Jets, the J-E-T-S Jets. Say what you will about Adam Gase. I have my questions too. The creepy looking dude who the writers love because he's, I guess, good to them and who knows, but that's one of those head coaches, second time around syndrome that you're talking about.
He did get the best out of Jay Cutler. He does have that quarterback whispery thing that has worked to his advantage.
I don't know exactly how much more he got out of Tannehill, but not like he had not like he brought him into the world. All I know is Adam Gase, second time around, people swear by him as a quarterback guy, and he's got, I don't know, one of the better young quarterbacks in the league.
I think Darnold, they have something there with that kid.
What they hope, what could be. One of the better young quarterbacks in the league. We'll see about that. The defense is always solid. They've got Greg Williams. Okay, that's their defensive coordinator, who definitely has a spotty record and is sort of a slime ball and has been all over the place.
But he'll get that team to attack.
So I sort of wonder if, you know, Greg Williams, like, he's faced Belichick so much and gotten his face kicked in by Belichick so much. At some point, do you finally figure something out? Like, I think Wade Phillips, who's gotten his face kicked in by Belichick over the years, has sort of, in the last couple of years,
done a hell of a job,
gone back and forth. You know, Wade Phillips, even in the Super Bowl, had a good day. And I think Wade Phillips, after so much time facing Bill and the scheme and Brady and having so much failures against him, has learned something. And now Wade Phillips, every other time you face him, at least every third time, because you're not going to do it every time against the Patriots, but every so often, Wade Phillips has a day against you. And could Greg Williams fall into that same category? Veteran guy. And the defense is good. They got a lot of good young players on that defense.
Especially up front. And this Quinnen Williams that they drafted this year looks like he could be nasty. Jamal Adams is awesome, that safety. I don't hate this pick, Mike. Like, if the Jets won 9 games this year, I wouldn't be shocked. I think they could have something.
Oh, but see, we're hoping for more now. We're talking about a team that emerges, that actually, I don't know, could come here for the AFC title game. That's what we're talking about. This year's version of the Jacksonville Jaguars 2 years ago. The team we're not thinking about that emerges.
Well, it can happen. I mean, you squeak in as the sixth seed, and then you upset a couple of people, and then you're there.
So, I really love Quincy Enunwa. I think he's one of the underrated players, underrated receivers in the league. I'm not a big running back guy, but between Le'Veon Bell, Ty Montgomery from the Packers, and I love Bilal Powell. He's still on the team, still makes the team. I love that sort of group. I have big questions about their offensive line. They had to take this Ryan Khalil out of retirement.
Yeah.
So, I don't know about their offensive line, but I know about their defense. I think both coaches, meaning Gase and Williams, have a chance here. And they got the young quarterback. And if something clicks between that coach and that quarterback, you got something. The Jets. Jets.
That's such a Felger
pick to click. Oh, I was so happy when it occurred to me this morning. I'm like, I got to play this game too. I was hoping just to ask you and you run with it. I just wanted to facilitate this one.
Of course.
So then I had to think about it. I said, oh, the Jets. That's the team. Okay. And Hook's got the Broncos. Good job, Hook. Your thoughts on this and the coaching stuff. Long commercial free segment is next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
B.O.B. Boob. Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Is he head coaching material? And I'm not talking about X's and O's. When I look at whether it's Mayo, as Tom is pointing out, you look at a guy like Mayo, you look at a guy like Vrabel, even a guy like Billy O'Brien, who didn't play in the NFL, they have this presence about them in the room. Does Josh have that?
Yeah, well, I think he might this second time around. I mean, the first time, obviously, his first try out at the head coaching job in Denver didn't go so well. He just didn't, he just couldn't handle it. I don't think he did a good job of connecting with his football players. He tried too hard. He wasn't himself. He's had a lot of time to reflect from that first failed attempt at the head coaching position back in Denver many, many years ago. And do you think he maybe learned his lesson? I think he's calmed down. I think he's probably learned a hell of a lot. I think he knows this market better than anybody. I think he knows this area and the Kraft family as good as anybody. So to me, he's the obvious choice to take over.
And so that would be my guy too, Josh McDaniels. Continuity, same playbook, same scheme. I have the whole master plan. I want Belichick to draft and develop the next quarterback. Maybe it's Stidham. Maybe it's the next guy. I'm not going to quibble. He gets to pick it. But I want him to be in charge of it. He coaches him for a couple of years right alongside Josh McDaniels. And then Bill steps away and Josh just takes over with Bill already laying the foundation and off you go. And the continuity there. That's what I want if I'm the Patriots. Others like Mike Vrabel, they think he's a possibility to come back to New England eventually and succeed Bill Belichick. When Gary Tangway said to Tommy Kern last night on TV that Vrabel's his guy, Kern shot back with a pretty definitive statement on who he thinks will be the next head coach.
All right, Tommy, my pick, Tom Kern. I think the next head coach of the New England Patriots is Mike Vrabel. What do you say?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think that the next head coach is a defensive coach, and I think he is actually in the building right now, and I think it's going to be Gerard Mayo. When you look at all the things that Mayo brings to the table, the fact that he will coach under Belichick as opposed to what Vrabel did, his business acumen, his time that he spent in the professional business world with Optum, the things that he knows, he's an incredibly charismatic person. Not to say Mike Vrabel isn't those things, not to say Mike Vrabel wouldn't be a good candidate, but I really have a feeling that when it's all said and done, if Gerard Mayo wants to coach the New England Patriots after Bill Belichick, that might be something that the Krafts would like to see happen.
Okay, that's the topic. How do you feel about that? I want Josh McDaniels. Big Jim Murray wants David Shaw out at Stanford. Murray wants a clean sweep. from the Belichick regime, which is interesting. Because his assistants have failed. There's no question the Belichick coaching tree blows. So why would you trust the Belichick coaching tree? And it's not unsound logic. I'm just still hoping to keep the continuity.
Yeah, and I just think that any of those guys, even if it's McDaniels, they'd still be living in the shadow of Bill. And it just, I don't know. I just think that's too much to try to live up to. That's why I would like the clean slate.
Okay, this and the next AFC team. Pete in Delaware, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Hey, Mike, first off, love you, Jets pick. I agree with it.
Thank you.
Yeah, Josh McDaniels, my issue with McDaniels is his mentality. Is he going to want full autonomy like it seemed like he wanted in some other jobs? If he's just going to be the coach and someone else is doing the evaluating, I'm okay with it. But if he wants full autonomy, that's where I would draw the line.
I think it's a great point. I'm not giving Josh McDaniels the whole building. Forget about that. He doesn't get to control the board. I mean, if he proves himself over time, fine. Then, yeah, he'll get the program. He can be coach, GM, and the whole thing and pick the groceries. At first, no. Someone's picking the groceries for him.
And I wonder if he'd be willing to acquiesce to that at this point of his career and everything he's accomplished under the Patriots. And I don't think that he would.
Really?
I don't know.
He better. I mean, who's going to give him the keys to the building? Who's going to let him control everything? I don't think that's,
sucker. Some other dumb GM and some dumb owner.
I don't think that was going to happen in Indy. I think he was going to have to answer to Chris Ballard. Pete in Rosendale on this topic. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, I agree with that last caller. You know, I think both Mayo and Josh McDaniels would make fine, head coaches. I would lean more towards Josh McDaniels because he has a little bit of experience. But I think, I would not allow the guy who drafted Tim Tebow in the first round to control the personnel. I think keeping Nick Caserio on board and allowing him to make those player personnel decisions would be one of the most important things moving forward.
Okay, so, that's sort of tricky because you could say, the guy who drafted Tommy Vardell in the first round is something I want nothing to do with. And you say, who's Tommy Vardell?
Touchdown Tommy Vardell.
He being Bill Belichick, the greatest coach in the history of the game, drafted a fullback, Tommy Vardell, number 9 overall. In 1992.
Yeah, ultimately ended up opening up holes for Barry Sanders towards the end there with the Lions.
Go back and look at Bill Belichick's drafting record in Cleveland. It's frightening. It's atrocious. So if you want to play that game, I think you could preclude a lot of guys.
Are coaches still getting the GM thing, though? I think a lot of these young guys are not getting that title, and teams have realized it's better to do it, with two different people. So I fully believe if Bill Belichick retires in a year or 2 years, it's going to be Nick Caserio and one of these guys. It's not going to be two different people.
If Nick Caserio doesn't head off to
Houston. If he doesn't jump to Houston at the end of this year, of course.
And this is true. What coach in the league today is deserving of GM duties as well?
Not many.
I mean, I'd give it to Pete, as much of a boob as he is. He knows the kind of player he likes and will thrive under him, and I think...
And Pete, Peyton, Andy Reid, the guys.
Yeah, but those are all the old guys.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah.
Like Sean McVay, one of the most highly touted young coaches. He's not the GM in L.A.
No, he's not. And I don't think that would be the case here. So if Josh wants that, I think he's going to have to pound sand. Dana in Mansfield, the next AFC team to emerge.
Hey, guys. What a great exercise to get Patriots fans' panties in a bunch. I'm going to use your logic, Felger, of every dog has his day. And Murray might even throw up in his mouth a little bit, but I'm going to go with the Chargers. Experienced quarterback, pretty good on each side of the ball. And when they did play last year, I believe a lot of Pats fans didn't think we were going to win that game. I myself thought the Chargers were going to win, but they ended up blowing them out. So they could emerge. They might have the potential to come here and win a big game.
Okay, so let me just, Ted in Holbrook, you agree? Ted in Holbrook, you're up.
Yeah, well, I was sitting here talking with my son about it, and he mentioned the Chargers too, and I was ready to dismiss that if he's playing too much of that Madden on the PlayStation. But then again, is it really out of the question that maybe they beat up on Oakland and Denver, take one from KC, end up with the 1 or 2 seed? And, maybe they get a game out in that soccer stadium and beat the Patriots. Who knows? That's all I can think of.
Yeah, that's the only shot.
Yeah, but they're going to be good. What we're doing is taking teams that were complete garbage last year that ultimately were surprised. The Chargers were 12-4 last year.
Yeah, if I can pick Kansas City to be the team that comes out of nowhere, then yeah, I would do that.
But I said other than Kansas City, you can pick any team.
All right.
I got the Chargers. I'm selling on the Chargers. I'm taking the under on the Chargers. I don't know.
I'll take the under on the Browns if we can do that.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Browns.
I actually, after the show, I had a friend who called and yelled at me because I'm a fanboy, and you and I, you specifically, apparently he doesn't care about you, you specifically don't know anything about football because we weren't on the Browns bandwagon. So
my knowledge is limited. I mean, he's got a point on that.
The Browns are this year's Vikings. Last year it was all the hype. Oh, they bring in Kirk Cousins. Now they got an offense. No one's going to be able to stop the Vikings. 8-7-1 last year. The Browns are going to finish under 500. You watch.
We continue with your calls on the coaching thing. The next coach. Who emerges in the AFC, and we'll get to another conversation I want to get to using Greg Bedard as a jumping off point. But back to your calls after Hook's 90-second update. No spots here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.